ESPN 690 and Action Sports Jax presents Brent and Friends with Brent Martineau.
We're going to have to show a little more patience than the year two pom-pom people.
Casey Kurtz.
Yo! Well, what are we doing, bro? Come on!
And Aaron Schachter.
I'm all in favor of these two showing their love, really celebrating their relationship.
This is Brent and Friends with Brent Martineau, Casey Kurtz, and Aaron Schachter on Jacksonville's home for ESPN Radio, ESPN 690.
We are back at Tivoli's House of Cards here on 210 in St. Johns County. We come here every Tuesday, 3 to 6. Don't forget, this afternoon or evening, overtime with Kurtz and Middleton immediately following. Tomorrow will be in RV City. Thursday, the plan, I think, is to be in RV City as well. Friday, I'll probably be live at the Bishop Kenny game against Bowles. Huge game, our game of the week on Friday in the high school ranks. And let's see, what else can I tell you about? Oh, tomorrow is Jaguars All Access. I just got asked about this, in fact, and we've moved it from Thursday to Wednesday because of the London trip for the Jags. So that's at String Sports Brewery. And Rasheen Mathis, you've heard of him, here on the show. Mondays with Mathis.
Like our Rasheen?
4 o'clock hour. He's going to join us.
Oh.
Our Rasheen. Yeah. I got him signed up for the show because the players' schedules and everything get out of whack. So we go with an alumni for the Wednesday edition.
I thought you were about to tell us that it was scheduled to be James Robinson and then had to pivot.
Now, that would have been... That would have been something.
Oh, boy.
Why didn't we have James on the show this year?
Yeah.
Well, because then we'd be empty the rest of the Mondays, right?
You would.
That would have been a problem as well. All right, hey, we got a big, big week here in town with the Florida Gators coming in, the Georgia Bulldogs coming in. We ranted and raved yesterday about, will the game stay? You know, what about it? What about Kirby Smart? Why does he want to move the game back? But you know what? You got to enjoy it, too. And I think eventually the game will be gone from Jacksonville in some capacity, whether that's on a rotation of sorts or not. I think that's probably where it will end up. But I don't know when that's coming. But while it's here, you got to enjoy it. And the week is awesome. It's a huge week in town. The weather's incredible. RV City opened today. And, man, I haven't caught up with this guy in a long, long time. But I think he'll be pretty good at this radio stuff. Let's bring in C.C. Jefferson, former Baker County star, former Florida Gator. And catch up with CeCe for a moment. Brent Martineau, Aaron Schachter, Casey Kurtz. Hey, what's happening, man?
Hey, how you doing, man? Thank you guys for having me.
Yeah, great to talk to you. First of all, give us an update. What have you been up to?
Seems like the question of the year for me, huh? But I'm back in Baker County. I got a couple kids that I'm training. Football, just not defensive line, but every aspect of the game. And just working and raising my kids, man, trying to figure out this life thing.
That's awesome. Good for you. How connected do you stay to the Florida Gators and to watching them and rooting for them since it's now in the blood?
Oh, man, you know, you hit it right on the head. It's in the blood, man, so I'm always connected. Haven't got a chance to go down and catch a game this year, but every Saturday I'm watching them on TV, rooting them on, man, hoping that they can pull it out each week. But I'm extremely connected. Half the guys that I came in with are all gone. So there's a couple guys who I played with, Ventrell Miller, you know, the older guys on the team now. So I'm connected, man, and I'm just a fan. It's actually kind of fun viewing it as a fan because, you know, you can see it from both sides, you know, the player perspective and the fan perspective. So it's been a joy.
That's awesome. Listen, they could use you on that defensive front now. They're really struggling on the defensive side of the ball. I mean, how alarming is it? Like, I'm not a Gator fan, right? But been out here 15 years. I watch you play. I watch a lot of players play. I've watched the ups and downs of this Gators team from national championships to the 4-8 seasons to some of those rough stretches. But one thing that never I don't know if I've seen a defense like this, CeCe. The defense is always there to some degree because you always have dudes. You always got talent. And I'm not saying there's a lack. Well, there's certainly a lack of enough talent, but it's just shocking to see the Florida Gators not be able to stop anyone. And I'm not sure what that's going to look like Saturday against that big offensive line of the Georgia Bulldogs.
Yeah, you got a point. We've definitely been in a rough spot this year defensively in some games, but I think that Florida Georgia game has a way of just sparking that fire up under every player. You know, no matter if we're undefeated up until that point or if we've lost every game up until that point. You know, that's definitely a game that we mark on our schedules. from spring practice all the way up until that moment. So I don't think those guys will need much motivation to go in there and try to handle business. And, you know, the thing about it that I like about this team is that, you know, there are some bad times, but when they're good, they are good. They look like a top five defense in the nation. You know, they got great leaders. But, you know, when you go against a team like Georgia, you almost have to be perfect because they have guys and, you know, they have the depth and everything. So we just got to go in there, do our jobs, not beat ourselves with the mental mistakes, and just play four quarters and hopefully bring this thing home. But it's definitely going to be a challenge. And like I said, I don't think those guys need much motivation for this game. So it should be a thriller.
What is CeCe Jefferson with us, former Gator, and it's obviously Florida-Georgia week for him, Georgia-Florida for others here in the River City. What is this week like? I mean, what do you I'm assuming I'm asking you this question, and you're probably smiling a little bit. It's got to bring back some really cool memories, not only the Saturday game, but everything bubbling toward it.
Oh, man, it's the best way I can describe it is if, let's see. It's kind of like a kid waking up on Christmas, you know, getting that new gaming console and all the games and everything that they wanted to come with it. Like the thrill and the vibe of the week and everything leading up to it is just unmatched, man. And it's just like, for me, being from Baker County, you know, Jacksonville right up the road, Florida, Georgia, Jacksonville being the neutral site, like that game for me was the reason why I attended the University of Florida, because everything about it just screamed the best of the best. You know what I mean? Like, if you go in that game and the winner of that game, the sky's the limit for you. And it's also bragging rights. So those guys are extremely excited. Coach Napier is probably, you know, I think this is his first Florida Georgia. This is his first Florida Georgia. So he's probably just excited as those guys. You know, you got a couple guys who have already experienced it. So they're probably trying to keep him calm, cool, and collected just until they make it there. But, It is definitely something exciting, man. And words honestly can't even put it in, so you can't even describe the feeling that they're having right now.
I should have looked this up, and I didn't. 2015 to 18, right, would have been your time with the Gators. How'd you guys, what was your record against them?
I'm 2-2 against Georgia. I beat them the first 2 years, and then the second 2 years, I don't know what happened.
Well, hey, there was a few of those years in there for the Florida Gators where I don't know what happened, not just against Georgia, by the way. And that's been the case, and that's why some of the changeover. Do you like the Napier hire? And, like, I know it's hard to tell the direction it's going right now, but do you like what he's all about, his tree, the Alabama pedigree a little bit, the organization, the no-nonsense. He's not really, like, trying to be funny in front of a microphone guy. He's just all football, football, football. Do you think it's a good hire by the Florida Gators?
I definitely think it's a good hire by the Florida Gators. And, you know, that's what you need. When a guy's in front of the press, he has to do his job. You know, it's not about joking all the time and doing all this and that. You know, you have to – there's a thin line between your players knowing that you're there to coach them, but also knowing that you can have fun with him. And I believe, like, outside of the media and everything, inside those buildings, I think he has that relationship that makes the guys, like, feel comfortable enough around him to come up to his office. His doors are always open. So I think they have that relationship. But I think the hire is good. I love the way he handles the situations. He always keeps the guys encouraged. He always reminds them that, you know, bad things are going to happen, but also good things are going to happen. So you just have to play the game. You can't give up. You can't drop your head when things go wrong. You just have to play the game. And I like him. I like him. You know, once he really gets a chance to go out and recruit and get his guys in there and get this thing back to where he wants it to be, I think the sky's the limit for us, man. But so far, so good, from my opinion.
Yeah, the recruiting will be important. CeCe, let me ask you this. You played for Dan Mullen a little bit right as he was coming in. Are you surprised,
sir,
how quickly it kind of went bad there? They go to an SEC championship. The team looked pretty good. I know you're on the outside looking in at this point, but I still can't believe that it happened that quickly with Dan Mullen coming out and Billy Napier coming in.
I mean, it took me as a surprise as well. Like you said, I had an honor of playing up under Coach Mullen my senior year, and he's a great guy and a great coach. And I definitely think that they got rid of him a little too fast. Like you say, a guy coming in leads you to an SEC championship, which hasn't been done since, 2016 with Coach McElwain?
Yeah, so leading to it.
Getting guys, Yeah, I think my sophomore year was the last year that we attended one. No, I could be wrong, but I think I'm right. But, you know, just showing the boosters and the AD and all that, that you're that type of guy to lead those men to that, I think that should have bought him a couple more years. But, you know, that's above my pay grade. I don't make those decisions. Like you said, I'm on the outside looking in. But, yeah, that's how I feel about it, man. He was a great coach, great guy. And he definitely should have had a little bit more time to get his feet more wet.
The pride of Baker County, C.C. Jefferson, former Florida Gator, with us here on ESPN 690. Brent Martin, O.K.C. Kurtz, Aaron Schachter. We're live from DeVoli's House of Cards here on a Tuesday. Was playing at Florida, and you just mentioned it, which is kind of cool. You went to Florida in part or mostly because this game that you grew up around. You're like, I want to go play for the Orange and Blue and the Gators. Was it everything you thought it would be, whatever your expectation was, running out in the swamp, being a football player on campus? Were all those things, did it live up to the expectation?
Oh, it exceeded my expectations. Like, growing up as a kid, if Florida football's on TV, that's the only thing that matters for those 3+ hours. That's the only thing that mattered in my household. Nothing else mattered. So for me to actually grow that passion for the team, and then later on in my adulthood or my teenage years, be able to go and live out that dream, that meant the world to me, man. I remember the first time I ran out of that tunnel, I cried like a baby. I didn't know if it was because I was living out my dream or because I was that excited. But, man, it is everything that I thought it would be. And the Florida-Georgia game was the cherry on top. Riding over that bridge, seeing all those people under those tailgating, hearing the roar of the crowd when you get off the bus, just all the way up until the end of it, it was like a fantasy. And if I could do it all over again, I would go back to college just for this weekend right here.
Hey, I want to ask you a little more. So you really cried coming out of the tunnel? Like, you were that emotional for you?
Oh my goodness, it was that emotional. You can ask any of my teammates behind my back. I boo-hoo cried because that feeling of just, you know, that a dream can come true was just so surreal to me. And It would get me every time, man. It would get me every time. Like I said, if these guys need motivation for this game or to run out of that tunnel to get prepared for any game, then they're in the wrong spot, because just the atmosphere alone will do it to you.
That's a really cool story. You know, let you live left to tell stories sometimes, and that's a pretty darn good one. Hey, guys, just so you know how good C.C. Jefferson was in high school and the name started to become really big. You know, this goes back now a decade ago, but when he played for Baker County, proud tradition of football. Baker County, one of the best atmospheres in high school football on a Friday night that you can find in the area and maybe even beyond. And Baker County has still been good, even since CC left. But as a freshman, I think you were named like the MVP of Baker County and the high school football team. Do you go back to those games sometimes and just be a part of the atmosphere? And almost all of McClenny goes to that game, don't they? And Glenn St. Mary.
Yeah, you know as well as I know, the tradition on a Friday night here in Baker County is like no other, man. If you better go grocery shopping, you better go and fill up your gas tanks and everything before, you know, that game kicks off, because everybody and their mom will be at the game. So I every now and again I'll go out there and check them out. I keep in touch with some of the players, but man, it's still going good. We're actually under new head coach Mays. He's got those guys going in the right direction, man. Everybody seems to be bought into the program. Everybody seems to be, you know, feeling the tradition of the guys that have come before them who have set the pace to get them where they are now. So they're in good hands, man. But like I say, I try to get out there and, you know, take my son and show them my old stomping grounds from time to time. So everything's still good with those guys.
All right, let me ask you this. How can the Gators beat Georgia? They're like 22-point dogs. I mean, look, sometimes the other team's just better than you at this stage of it. Kirby Smart and Georgia coming off a national championship. They're rolling again. And obviously, Napier is trying to build it back up. They've got a quarterback who's very inconsistent. They've got a defense that hasn't stopped much. Like, can you find me a path other than, I mean, I know it's a rivalry game, so you can throw stuff out the window. But beyond that, I mean, is there something they can do well potentially to upset the dogs?
I think of, you know what, and I'm going to give you an honest answer here, because you were just honest with me. I think if they go in, because I every week I think Coach Napier puts guys in positions to win football games. So I think for them to have a chance, the only thing they have to do is just go in and be calm and not let the moment be too big for them. Like you said, knowing our history with Georgia, you know, they've been on top lately. But how this season is going right now, I think the Missouri game and how Missouri handled Georgia really gave everybody the boost that this team can be beat. So I really don't think we have to go in and do too much or go in and try to overreact to things. I just think we have to go in and play our game within ourselves. And the possibilities of the victorious outcome, you know, it may surprise you. So the only way that we can go in and just get flat out embarrassed is if the guys go in and let the moment be too big for them. And that's my honest opinion.
Really good advice from C.C. Jefferson, former Florida Gator, Baker County star, still living out in Baker County now. Hey, man, fantastic to catch up with you. Thanks for taking a few minutes, and enjoy being a dad out there in Baker County.
Absolutely, man. Thank you guys for having me, and we should definitely do this again sometime.
Absolutely, we'll do it. That is C.C. Jefferson, head of the Florida-Georgia game for him, Georgia-Florida for others. And it is kind of crazy, Casey, and you know this. You're a bit of a Gator fan, but 22-point dog, I think it is, right? I mean, it's like it's hard to see. There's two different ways to look at it. I could sit here and say, okay, yes, it's a rivalry game. But we all know that stuff happens. Yes, some things crazy do happen. You can get amped up. I love what CeCe said there. Just don't make it bigger than it is and go play football, and maybe that would be enough. Just go play football for 3 hours on a Saturday afternoon. But I do think you have to schematically or kind of envision what could go right. I mean, is it simply they have to run for 180 yards? Or is it Anthony Richardson has to run for 100 yards himself? I think this all is on the offense of the Gators, because we know this. Everybody's going to score against that Florida defense to some degree. Even if they play well, people are going to score. So it's all on the Gators' offense to find a way to win the football game. And it just so happens that Kirby Smart, that Georgia defense can be pretty good.
They can be pretty good, yeah, at the bare minimum. And I think the interesting thing for me is Anthony Richardson can still be the best player on the field at any given time. I know the Georgia defense has a lot of studs. He hasn't done it consistently, I should say, which has been a problem. So if he can do that, yeah, they have an opportunity. Also, maybe call Doug Peterson. He finally started handing it off to his guy named Etienne. They should maybe give it to Trevor Etienne, because that guy's electric when they give him the football.
Yeah, and he has impressed, but they still haven't quite figured out who they want to give it to, right?
Yeah, no, they're still going back and forth. Like last against LSU, he had like eight, or ETN at least had like 8 or 10 carries, something like that.
I do think you're right. I mean, you need the Anthony Richardson of the Utah game.
Right.
I mean, simple as that, right?
Or LSU of last year. Yeah, it comes in moments, yeah. But it can be done. I mean, he's a talented guy, he has to figure it out. And I mean, we're still dealing with that in Jacksonville, right? Trevor's not always consistent. He's a little more consistent than Anthony Richardson, but, like, the ability is there. And if it's going to pop off for one game, might as well make it this one.
Well, and that's the thing. Like, he can play. If he plays anything like he's played in the other games, they don't win. And he hasn't played poorly in all the games. But I just want you to understand my point. He can't even play sometimes good and sometimes not so good, like the LSU game, where he had some moments. But he also wasn't unbelievable. Mm-hmm. He has to play unbelievable. Yes. Like, he has to be that guy. Like, that's – so I guess, like, that is the path to victory. Because he has done it now. He's shown that he has the ability to do it. He's shown that a lot of – like you said, early in the year, right, after the Utah game, he will be the best quarterback on the field the rest of the way. Now, that hasn't transpired because he hasn't played well. But from a talent standpoint, a ceiling standpoint – you could make the case he is that. Like, he could get there. But is he going to get there for those 60 minutes on a Saturday? And he did it against Utah now. It's a good football team. And he played a clean game, a very good game, an opportunistic game. He showed off the skill set, the arm, the legs. And then he's been a little all over the place. I mean, from really, really bad to, like, can they bench him? To some other moments where it's pretty good. And all I'm saying is if they're going to beat Georgia, they need the Utah edition of Anthony Richardson. They can't have the other guys.
Yes. 100%. They need him to be that guy. Also, maybe it would help if they're peeking ahead to Tennessee a little bit next week. So I'm sure they're not, because Florida Georgia is a big one. But they do have a good little run coming at them, because the Gators might give them a time, but Tennessee's really going to give them one.
You know, this is the first time I can remember. Yeah, be careful. I always remember to say it. I want to make sure I'm accurate. But I'm pretty sure this is the first time I can remember in my time here covering this game, which is now 15 of them, where Georgia had a huge game the week after this game. I just don't think they ever have like a big game with all this, you know, a high stakes game.
Hasn't been a lot of big games in this side of the SEC, though.
Well, that's the point. And that's my point. That's why I don't think I'm misspeaking here. Mm-hmm. I think I'm right about this. Because usually on the other side, they get like Vanderbilt.
Yeah.
Or it's South Carolina.
Or Tennessee when they weren't.
Or Tennessee,
year.
Who's been terrible, right?
Right,
quite frankly. So, I mean, you do bring up a good point here. The folks in Athens are way more concerned about November 5th than they are about October 29th in Jacksonville.
Yeah, that's the team that, at least on paper, should be able to play the better game. But, again, Tennessee's a good team, but you can't discount the Anthony Richardson part of it. But at least, well, not at least, but you're probably going to know early in the game which Anthony Richardson you got.
Which All right, let's take a break. Part. That was good stuff with C.C. Jefferson, which could be a scary part. Scary for Georgia or scary for Florida.
A little bit of both. It's a Halloween
we'll
time.
We are live at the Woolies House of Cards. I'll tell you who we opened up for our fantasy card breaks, guys, on the other side of things. We'll get back to some NFL. We have some tweets as well. There's a lot going on. Did you see the officials and Mike Evans?
We actually explore a little bit of that in the tweets as well.
Oh, good. We'll get to that a little bit later.
Like, you got to get the graph when you can, dog. I don't know.
I don't know. Like, Aaron's really interested to see what you have to say about
this. Yeah, I wanted Casey to bring the video down. I wanted to see if Casey had, like, pointers for the refs on their form.
And don't you always love when Bill Belichick thinks he's smarter than he really is? Isn't there something fun about that?
Enough with this guy already.
It happened last night. And what about this 2021 class? Is Mac Jones going to the bench? We'll talk about it when we come back here on Brent Friends on ESPN 690. Hey, welcome back to Lily's House of Cards, a place to be. Fantasy card breaks, so I got to let you guys in and tell you what we did already here on the at the Lily's House of Cards in St. John's County, 210. We got ourselves a good couple of teams. Now we got to get in victory lane with these teams. Well, you got one team. I got
Daytona
2 teams.
Daytona 500?
Yeah, that's victory what we got to do, it, man. We got to get in the money. Got to get in the Western Kentucky kind of money.
Bro, who's our team, bro?
Hold on, I'm finding it. This is called stretching fantasy card breaks. We got to let you know about it, and you got to come down and check it out. It's really fun, and we've been doing it all year. We got in the money early, but it's been a little bit of a dry spell, and that's because guys like Tom Brady can't play football anymore.
Yeah.
Okay. Had him twice last week in our picks, so if he has a monster game, let's say Joe Burrow-like, well, then we win.
And he was playing Carolina. We had all the expectations.
You believe?
I didn't even know our team.
You believe they lost to Carolina?
We had Tom Brady.
That's the NFL. You know how you talk about these NFL to how the Giants were definitely going to lose last week because the NFL is the NFL. Well, maybe we missed on that one.
Nah,
but that Tampa Carolina game is literally what you're talking about.
Nah, they finally got the fired coach. Bump.
He was waiting
told
for
you.
The bump. You're
fired coach bump.
We could have been here in early December, and you're like, see, I told you they'd get the fired coach bump.
It was 1 week late. They had to travel to L.A. Like, things were busy. Let them come in, Carolina.
What about Chicago, New England? You guys were sure Chicago was losing last night.
That is nuts.
Who said they were sure?
I was pretty sure. You said sure?
I think I would have been sure.
I bet on the Bears.
You know. I hope you took the over Bears 6.5 points in the first half.
Is that
Did
what
you
it was?
See that?
I didn't see that.
6.5. They had to score a touchdown.
And you don't know that they're going to do it.
I will tell you a good story though. I was going up against the Patriots defense in two different leagues, and one of them, they had to get 4, I think it was, and they had 6 the whole game, and then they gave up 34, which got a minus 1, and they gave up like 358 yards, got another minus 1. I got the W in both leagues.
Wow, I'm
let's
that.
Go.
That's nuts. I will say that the fact that Chicago scored 33 Patriots in Gillette Stadium against Bill Belichick. That was stunning. Yeah. That was actually more stunning than Carolina winning.
Like, is Bill Belichick ready to admit, or we could get to it, but like, is he ready to admit this experiment with the no coordinators has failed miserably?
Yeah, not only that, the experiment with like whatever he did with the quarterbacks last night. Here's our team, guys. Josh Allen. Like him.
Nice,
heard of him.
Nice.
Alvin Kamara.
Okay.
Davante Adams.
Nice.
Zach Ertz.
Okay.
Justin Jefferson.
Mm-hmm.
Tyler Lockett.
This is a great team.
Brian Robinson.
Who? The guy who got shot. Everyone loves Brian Robinson.
Oh.
The guy who got shot.
Yes. Elegant way to put it.
And by the way, super flex with Josh Allen again.
Oh, double Josh.
Double Josh.
We're going to score 370 points this week.
Josh about to throw four picks.
Jeez, that'd be like eight picks. That'd be brutal.
Right?
Anyway,
if he screws up, it really screws us up.
That's a hell of a team, though, right?
That came out of Prism? Okay.
No, we're not doing Prism anymore. We're doing Score. How many cards come in the Score box? 40. So it's not, because what happened was too many people were not getting, like, the whole roster. And so
you had to make it a little bit. Okay.
They went to a bigger set of cards.
You got
to
fill out the roster.
Yeah. And so I think that's what they lean. They're trying to tweak it all, and this is better.
Hey, speaking of which,
yeah,
you got to pick up Aaron's cards because he lost. You also lost 2 weeks. You better bring those back as well. Yeah. Also, Mark Davoli, if you can hear me, I'm sorry you lost 2 weeks as well.
Yeah.
So
you know what's funny?
Everybody
ever since Davoli's lost, he's never been here on a Tuesday.
Well, that is true. Like, now
he lost the picks, but he's never here, so I can't tell him he lost.
Well, make sure you bring your part and Aaron's part back.
Yeah, I gotta send you. I gotta Venmo you money or something.
You gotta Venmo me. All right, I'll buy you. You can buy the Pokemon cards.
I mean, I'm down with my son is collecting now, so I'm down with that.
Whatever you want. I got soccer and Pokemon and baseball and basketball and football and all of them here at Davoli's House of Cards. All right, you want to do some tweets?
Yeah, man. Let's get to it.
What do you got?
Well, we start off with trade rumors. Obviously, the trade deadline quickly approaching. NFL, very buzzy and busy, right? A lot of names being thrown around. Here's the latest one. Broncos top pass rusher Bradley Chubb likely going to be traded by Tuesday if Denver loses to the Jaguars on week 8, according to Mike Florio. This is from Doug Kleinman. Guys, Bradley Chubb sounds like one of those names where the rich get richer and he ends up in like a Buffalo or something, right? Or he goes San Francisco or Kansas City. Like, this isn't somebody who's going to a mediocre team to make him into a playoff run. It seems like Bradley Chubb is going to end up on whoever's going to win the Super Bowl this year.
Yeah, I don't know if I feel completely like that, because Chubb has been an injured guy partly through his career, and he also he isn't a veteran guy in that respect. So he's looking for another payday at some point. And so are you just going to rent Bradley Chubb if you're one of those teams? I can see it. I'm just saying I don't know if I completely buy it a la like the Von Millers of the world. And
yeah,
those
the Rams like the rentals, right? They did it last year a few times.
Bradley Chubb, what draft was he in? Let's see, 4 years. So 18, 19, 20, 21. So he's on...
Year four? Year five?
His fifth year. He's on his fifth year.
Yes, year five.
And
so he's done after this year, essentially.
Yeah,
it's a rental. He's going to a championship.
Or you've got to sign him, right? So you got to be like, does he make sense in Jacksonville? They've got two edge guys, and he's not better than he hasn't done enough to say he's better than Josh Allen, is he?
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to say another name. I was like, what? You know what? I know Casey. I understand the look you're giving.
Think he's better?
Casey is doubtful. I think he's down on Josh Allen right now, to be honest with you, if I'm going to read Casey's face.
Yeah, it seems like a lot. He spends too much time on Twitter.
But I do think Josh Allen is a stud, and I do think he's a top-quality player. I don't know that you're going to upgrade substantially, especially for the money you'll ultimately have to spend or what you'll have to give up for him.
Well, let's see. Bradley Chubb, in his career, has...
26 sacks.
Is that what it is?
Mm-hmm.
Where is the sack total? There he is, 26. But in the last 4 years, he's had 14 because he doesn't play.
But
he's
when
played
he does,
16 games, 4 games, 14 games, 7 games.
But the, year,
so
the
two years,
years that he plays, he's legit.
He's
That's
legit.
True, if he's healthy. Now, Josh Allen missed a lot of 1 year, So
yeah, let's stop pretending every player out there is DeBrickashaw Ferguson who's going to play every game they start in. Yeah, these guys miss games. It's just what the NFL is.
Do, but I mean, if you're going to trade for somebody and then go pay somebody, does it make sense to take? They love availability now. That's a big part of this.
Sure,
he's played a lot.
Sure,
from college to other stuff, and so you're going to take a chance on it. I would say probably not. I mean, Chubb actually tore his ACL against the Jaguars. Remember that Minshew game?
Yes.
And he tore his ACL and missed the rest of the season. That was against the Jags.
Yeah.
And I think Chubb's a good player. I think he's played really well at times this year. That defense is good for the Denver Broncos.
Oh, yeah.
And he's played really well. So
yeah, it's a shame the offense is garbage.
But, you know, like people talk about this with Brian Burns, too. But, like, how many big-time guys or big money guys or big investment guys are you going to get on the edge? And I don't know if you have – do you have room for three of them? I mean, I know you can rotate guys in and out, but –
are you going to throw some
money guys?
Big dollars at somebody to rotate them? It doesn't seem likely.
That's a thing. That's why Burns didn't make a lot of sense to me unless you were going to move on from Josh Allen. I just don't see this organization moving on from Josh Allen.
Yeah. All right.
Casey, wait. I want to understand this for a second. Casey, is there a debate to make and a good one? Especially with, I know some of the people that listen to our show and some of the people on Twitter that we interact with are not as big a Josh Allen fan as like I am. But is there a debate to be had that, like, I'd rather have Bradley Chubb than Josh Allen?
There's a debate to be made, yeah. I think Bradley Chubb, when healthy, has shown he's really good. And Josh Allen, he's been good. But I think now the questions start to come where, you know, they got him some help, Trayvon Walker, and it just the production hasn't been there. You can look at the pressure rate, sure, but, you know, pressure rate doesn't get you paid. Unfortunately, the sacks get you paid. So I think there's a conversation to be had. I don't think it makes a ton of sense for the Jags to trade for this guy, but I think he's a good player. And I actually do agree with Aaron's point where it'll be very Von Miller-esque in terms of whoever trades for him will win the Super Bowl, because I think you put that guy on Kansas City. Would they trade him to Kansas City in division? Probably not. But if it did happen, that's like the piece they need. So I think he will go to a team that will go far in the playoffs.
Tied for second on the edge in assists with 8. Granted, 2 forced fumbles, 3 sacks, isn't lighting the league on fire, but 10 stops, 16 hurries, 9 hits, 28 total pressures. Josh Allen's a beast.
Josh Allen, by the way, 23.5 sacks in his career. That's in 4 seasons, well, 3-plus. And for Bradley Chubb, 26 in 4-plus. So, yeah, like,
it's close enough.
I'd rather have the guy that's been here that wants to be here.
And younger.
And a shade younger, too. So, yeah, to me, it's Josh Allen all day.
With you.
All right, go ahead.
All right. Next tweet's coming from Andrew Siciliano. It's actually a double tweet. It's a little self-conversation. He's recanting Bill Belichick's press conference. So the AM press conference, Belichick, the reporter goes, hey, if Mac Jones is healthy, is he the starter? Belichick goes, again, it's a hypothetical question. Let's see where that is and what that is. So then later after the game, reporter, Bill, was Mac healthy enough to play the whole game? Belichick, well, he didn't. So that's another hypothetical question. Like, what a right guy. Do you have to be the ugliest, cutest person in the room? It's so annoying already. It's so tired. You're not Bill Parcells. Stop it.
Belichick outsmarting himself is fun. What was he doing?
Gross.
What was he doing last
Ruining
night?
Ruining the legacy of his team is what he was doing.
Like, he created a mess, didn't he? Like, I think he created a mess. I'm not sure what other people in New England are saying this morning. I didn't read about it. But I think he created a mess. I mean, Zappi's whatever. It was a 10-minute thing,
He's
man.
A guy.
And Mac Jones is a guy you put a 15th overall pick on. He's either healthy to play or he's not. And you sure as heck don't take him out of the game in that situation. And then say it was planned. What?
Well, here's why you think it was planned. Before the game started, Schefter goes, well, you may see both play tonight, which obviously means someone told him before the game, hey, we're going to play both guys.
What is this, a preseason game?
It's nonsense.
Boy, then people went nuts for Zappi, though.
They love I was tired of the Zappi stuff, man. I'm like, listen, by the way, Mac Jones and Zappi look like they could be brothers.
They actually are the same person.
They are like exactly the same. I'm surprised more people weren't talking about that. But, hey, Zappi ain't Brady.
Doesn't the Zappi thing feel a lot like the Minshew tone when Minshew started a whole quarterback controversy in this
town? A little bit, but even Minshew.
Like when Foles came back?
Yeah, but I think Minshew has more substance than this. I mean, this kid has, he's had 2-3 games.
Minshew's got numbers. I'm just saying, like, people are calling for the Zappi kid because he won his first game and was able to move the ball down the field. But, Mac Jones won, 10 or 11 games last year?
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing?
They put up, like, 40-something, though. in the games that Zappe was in there.
Okay.
They did.
It's because they're running the ball. I'm not saying that it's because of him.
Yeah, Stevenson has 20 carries a game.
I know. I'm just saying.
The funniest thing about the Zappe stuff, though, was he throws that first touchdown, and the guy has, like, Myers has to fall down because it's such a bad throw.
Yeah. Like, it was behind him and such.
And not only that, he had to drive. The two drives were 50 yards. They got both at midfield.
Short field.
So it's just like I actually hit up Joe Buck on Twitter yesterday because, and I like Joe.
Did he reply?
No. I mean, I had to get on Joe. Like everybody was getting on the Fox announcers the other day in the Jags.
You let him have it, Brad.
Well, it's like Joe. He threw a 5-yard swing pass, and Joe in his play-by-play is like, good pass by Zappe. Good pass by Zappe. He should be able to throw that thing behind his back and hit the running back. Like, what is this? JV football?
Yeah.
Good pass by Zappe? They got carried away with the storyline. Twitter.
I think they like get hearts in their eyes from the whole Brady taking over for Bledsoe legacy. And then it's like,
never happening again.
The Western Kentucky Hilltoppers are proud of Bailey Zappe. I'll tell you that much.
And all right, you got something else?
And Billy Zappe. Thank you. Tom Pelissero's got our next tweet. Full story on Mike Evans. Here we go. Mike Evans and side judge Jeff Lamberth both went to Texas A&M, and Lamberth was getting Evans' phone number to pass it along to a golf pro to give Evans lessons, per sources. Lamberth didn't have paper, so he borrowed it from another official. So, guys, the whole thing here is that refs aren't allowed to ask for autographs because they have to seem impartial. But isn't this along the same lines? Like, hey, let me get your phone number. I know a golf pro that you might be into. Like, what? Now's not the time. Not in the tunnel. Not on the field. Like, what are you doing?
It is kind of a weird time to do it. I'll give you that. But I also have no problem with this. To be honest with you, I have no problem if they wanted to get the autograph in this situation.
Really?
But it wasn't a situation. I think this stuff is way blown out of proportion. I mean, these guys are part-time guys. It's not like they travel with them. They're going to see him. Who knows when they see him again? Now, they could easily have asked the PR guy. I get it. There's other ways to do it. But this is a day and age where we have phones everywhere. We have video everywhere. You're telling me this stuff didn't happen for the last 35, 40 years in the NFL? Absolutely it did.
All right. Casey, what do you think of the ref's form?
I think, listen, if you're going to ask for something signed, bro, you got to have first the item to be signed.
Yeah,
right?
You got to hold it out. You can't be asking someone in the moment. What, are you crazy?
Just walk up with no item, right? Usually you don't have a pen. This guy had the pen. He's like, hey, sign it. He's like, sign what, bro? There's nothing here.
So bush league. It's like asking someone to take a photo, and they're like, okay. And then you're like, hold on, let me get my camera out and set it up for you. What are you doing?
Exactly. I will say Mike Evans, all-world guy. Got a lot of interactions with Mike Evans. When I saw this, believe it or not, and it was like Mike Evans signing autograph, I literally was like, Yep.
Not surprising.
Sounds about
that's
right.
Cool. That's cool to say. So he's a good dude, huh?
Before Brady got there, the Bucks was a very loosey-goosey operation in the parking lot, okay? Let's just leave it at that. And the last game of the season before they got Brady, I was like, dang, I need Mike on this stuff. And the gate in the parking lot was just open. I was like, all right, I'm doing it.
Wow.
Roll right up on him. He's like, how'd you get back here? I was like, gate's open. He's like, all right. And he did it. Everything I had.
Everyone's life is in danger.
Everything I had. So, like, what kind of suitcase did you bring full of memorabilia?
I had, like, 5 things.
You're the worst kind of autograph seeker. I used to see this from afar and get disgusted at this. Grown men just sign this and this and this and this. All right, guy, just go to eBay. Get out
different.
Of my face.
It's different. I said, Mike, I got 5, bro. Whatever you got time for. He's like, let's do it.
All right, that's a little bit better. I got one more tweet before we run to break. Go ahead, Brent.
Okay. No, I think we hate officials more than anything in life.
Mm. And the official has to get out quick, right? He's leaving immediately.
True.
Doesn't have
but he could have been more. But he could have done it in more disguise. So let's be honest. But still,
just call your boss. Have your boss call his boss.
Way out of proportion.
Yeah. All right. Last tweet is from Sport Tech.
Somebody's getting paid.
It's a little bit of context on Matt Ryan. I know we've been talking a lot about how Matt Ryan is bound for the graveyard, or as Brent eloquently put it, the old age home. $12 million of Matt Ryan's 2023 base salary already fully guaranteed. Fine, we knew that. $7.2 million of additional salary plus a $10 million roster bonus is guaranteed for injury. So if he would have suffered an injury this season, it carries into 2023, and it means that almost $30 million becomes guaranteed instead of just $12 million. Basically, what SportTrack is saying is that this was a business decision. They know they're not making the playoffs. There is no hope in Indy, so you might as well not spend the money by accident when Matt Ryan breaks a leg.
And they knew he was going to get hurt.
Yeah, that's the other part of it, right? Like, you're playing with fire out there.
You know what this is? This is Chris Ballard saying, sorry, I suck at picking quarterbacks. But, hey, Ursay, I'm going to save you some money.
Lots of money.
All right? So I'm going to try to save you some money so I can save my job. Because we're not very good at this.
And we'll go buy another quarterback in a couple of months.
It sounds like Ursay is the one that made the call. So I think Ursay was looking out for his own pocket.
I think you're right. I think there was, like, heavy discussion about it. I haven't read the article, but it's in The Athletic about how this thing all came together.
Yeah.
And I think it would be pretty fascinating. I just haven't had a chance to read it just yet. But if you want to, you can. There's a little shameless plug for The Athletic.
They need it, job too. With the They're tweets. Going out of business.
Are they going out of business?
Are they?
Of course not.
All right.
Oh. Football at 5. You never know. Anybody writing these days.
Especially paywalled websites, yeah.
Well, football at 5 coming up in just a little bit. We've got overtime with Kurtz and Middleton as well a little bit later on. Brent Martineau, Aaron Schachter, Casey Kurtz. We're live at Tivoli's House of Cards. That's a weird question, Casey.
Yeah, I know what you're thinking. It's a weird question. Why would Casey ask it? Well, we all know the true answer there. Casey didn't ask the question. It came Aaron from did. Our guy, Aaron Schachter.
You're asking what color hair?
I call Casey the Casey. Red Menace because he's a redhead.
I have a red beard. My hair is not red.
Hey, that's funny you said that. I kind of didn't put two and two together. But, yeah, your hair is not like my kid's hair.
Is
that's
red. Yes.
But I don't see your hair being red, but you're... Your facial hair,
right?
Is.
So and then, his attitude is red as well.
We had another coworker who doesn't have red hair. Aaron's like, "Well, what color's her hair?" I'm like, "Not red, Aaron." I was just talking to her.
I thought maybe Casey was colorblind and he sees like polka dots when he looks at red or something.
No, and I think it's a you thing now.
Hey, speaking of, I got my haircut today.
Yeah, I asked Casey earlier. I was like, "Hey, did Brent get a haircut?"
I did, and it was longer than 8 minutes.
Oh
but
no!
I learned something else at the haircut.
They make better haircuts. The longer than 8 minutes
haircut,
long,
the better the haircut.
The stylist there said that your hair grows faster in the summer than it does in the winter.
Oh.
That feels
it's like
obvious.
It's like your lawn.
Is that like an everybody
is that real?
Thing? It's photosynthesis.
It's your head only, or is that an everybody thing?
I don't know. Is that a real thing, though? Have you ever heard that?
We're gonna Makes sense. In the break. You're like outside, the sun is growing things.
A little vitamin D.
Your hair.
Photosynthesis, dog.
Grows in the summer?
Ask Ty and Kaylee. They're in school. They'll get it. Tell them to bring home a science book.
Yeah, just... Ask him about science.
I've been living for 45 years, and I've never heard that.
Been living the wrong way, Doc.
That's a good...
You've been getting 8 minutes haircuts this whole time. Nobody's had the chance to even tell you. Can't even get into a conversation. Hey, somebody you look like that guy from TV. Brent's like, nah, not me. Just come
somebody tell us if that's true.
I got it right here, man. From Google, the sun and the heat do enhance hair growth. Human hair indeed grows faster during the summer by about 10%.
Really? Educational program, Brent.
Wow.
Learn something new every day.
That is nuts. That's really true.
I know it hurts to come for me.
I thought she was lying to me.
Try to make you come back one extra time every 2 weeks?
Yeah, well, that's how we got on the story, because she's like, we haven't been here in a while. I was like, I don't know. I guess it's not grown as
You're
fast.
You're like, lady, I'm 65. My hair doesn't grow fast.
We'll be back. Football at 5 coming up. More on the James Robinson story. And is anybody else going to get traded? Or should the Jags trade for someone? We'll be back on ESPN 690 live from Tivoli's House of Cards.